Welcome everybody to this online session, and we are into the sixth day of this online retreat, and quite a bit is happening in your practice. We hear that from the sharing here in this space, and we also hear it from the sharing in the smaller interview groups. It's always a good sign when things are happening. Whatever it is, you know, it's not about good and bad, but it's about these experiences that we notice, that we are aware of, and from which we learn. So again, here we have the space for the sharing. Whoever feels inclined, please raise your digital hand or unmute yourself and share.
I can share a little. Even there is happening a lot in our lives, turbulent times, and we have to make decisions, and sometimes it can lead to some conflicts, and we have time pressure. I notice, and especially in the context of our relationship, that metta still again and again is coming up towards each other, and towards ourselves sometimes also. But we notice, I think I can speak for we.
I don't know what you're going to say.
cultivating metta is doing its job, and well, me personally, I'm grateful for that. So that's what I want to share.
Thank you, Jerome. And now we have Monique, please.
Hi, everyone. I want to share that yesterday evening and this morning, what's happened in a sitting meditation, an infinite space opened again, and I did my metta phrase for the benefactor and for my dear friend. And then suddenly I felt the I disappeared, the me, myself and I. And that was a relief, and an enormous calm came over me. And it happened before in a Vipassana meditation, and I heard in my mind my previous teacher, Yoan Choi, saying, emptiness is just emptiness. This is what I want to share with you.
Thank you, Monique, for this sharing. Marike, please.
Yesterday I had a rehearsal of orchestra, and in fact I participated because it's a long time ago, I had some problems there. It was really, I had a leading position and I was quit from that from one moment to the other. Now it's the last time the director does his thing, so shall I go or not? And it was really a challenge. But yesterday I was sitting, and the man who had taken my position there, it was always my difficult person, but it had disappeared. And I was irritated by him looking back. It was so much. But now it came, yes, could see, yes, feeling the metta wish. I know his wife is very ill, so also for his wife, it was very smoothly. And also for the director, who has some character things that people don't like, me neither, but I was rather, relaxed by it. I was really astonished how that could happen, and I could, there was a lot to practice metta, also for myself, with the physical problems, rather okay, but I was astonished by that, by the effects, and just going on. Doesn't go always so smooth, but I was very happy with that. That the borders, as Teresa Fischer, you said, that the borders of, well, metta can go to anybody. Great, doesn't succeed always, but I was happy with that experience.
Thank you, Marike. And then we have Melissa, please.
Hello. I had a really interesting shift when going from the benefactor to my dear friend of 20 years. The benefactor flowed very easily, so bright, so joyous. And then most of the day yesterday, when I'd go to my friend, my mind would become restless very easy. And it was just such a surprise because, you know, she's a dear friend, and it was really helpful to be persistent and notice the emotional attachment and agitation that was very subtle, actually, of just, you know, wishing things were different for her, wishing she was different, and then having the opportunity to just I really want to accept her and just fully offer this metta freely. And then it took most of the day, and then by the evening time the metta opened up and flowed, but it was just amazing to see. I didn't realize that was there. Thank you.
And thank you, Melissa. And next we have Marcelo.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's early morning here, so the most recent thing I can report was I had a dream about a person that I've really, we have a lot of negativity towards each other. We wouldn't even speak in real life. I probably shouldn't say real life, but when we meet, we haven't spoken in a long time. So I dreamed, and it was just very loving and caring get together in the dream. So that was interesting.
Thank you, Marcelo, for the sharing. Somebody else? Maybe one more person? Yes, we have Christine.
Good morning, everybody. It's very early morning here, too. I had a frustrating day of metta yesterday, you know, and it wasn't that I didn't have the quote-unquote right person to do metta for, because when I was... when the mind was on the object, the metta was good. But the problem was that the mind kept sliding off, you know? And so I just had to come back again and again and again. And it was all day like that. And so by the end of the day, when I went to bed, I thought, oh, Christ, it was kind of a waste of time today. And, but then, you know, during the night, I woke up a few times, as one does, just briefly. And every time I woke up, the image of the person was the first thing I was aware of. And the phrases were in my head. I was clearly saying the phrases while I was asleep. So I'm going, well, maybe Buddha is doing the metta for me. Because I couldn't do it during the day, so I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Christine. So then with this, I hand over to Ayavi Ranyani for her reflections and then the guided meditation.
Thank you, Aria, and thank you everybody for your sharings. It really, it's so touching to witness what's going on for you, the ups and downs of the practice, the gratifying things, the difficult things. We're entering into the middle of the retreat, and this is where it really begins to get interesting. And I wanted to speak a little bit, reflect a little bit about metta itself tonight. And knowing that the taped talk today includes Aria's teaching about the near and far enemies of metta, and I wanted to speak kind of around that a little bit tonight, because this category we're working with these days, the dear friend, is where all sorts of things begin to arise that we might not have expected. So, to be going along very nicely, thank you very much, with the benefactor, and then go to the dear friend and be shocked by all the things that are arising is normal. It's like, oh, I had no idea that was in there. So we think, as Aria said yesterday, we think this category might be a little easier than it is. Because of what comes up, it surprises us. We see all sorts of things that we might not have imagined are in there. And we see also we're face to face with our ideas about what metta should be and what maybe it isn't in our basic experience. We have a lot of ideas about metta that come actually from language. So we read the translation of, for example, the Four Boundless States chant, and we, boundless, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill will. And we think, oh, wow, metta, boundless love, boundless kindness. And we have these ideas of, oh, you know, we should be feeling this kind of wholehearted, complete love for all beings. And we forget the simplicity of metta. The quietness of metta. Maybe we don't forget in our minds, but we take these perceptions, these ideas, what we think metta should be, and then we're face to face with our practice and we see, oh, I don't have this. So again, the simplicity of metta, a reminder of that. It's just benevolence, that wish for oneself or for another. Wish for some kind of well-being. And a friendly heart. But without exception. That's the profundity of metta, as we've been describing. It's a radical acceptance, as Aria said yesterday. So she'll speak in the, if you haven't heard it already, in the talk a little bit today about the near and far enemies of metta. And the near enemy of metta is what comes up for all of us in this category. Traditionally, it's spoken of as sentimental attachment, emotional attachment, emotional love. And this is where language, we love, you know, what is that? And expanding on this, because it really does come out in this category. So it's not that sentimental attachment. You said this already. It's also not anything with an agenda. And this can't be overemphasized, because often in our relationships with those who are close to us, agendas can creep in there without us knowing about it. This is really important to notice in the practice, whether there is an agenda or not. And that will come up, of course, when we're faced with this person, faced with the underbelly of the relationship that we have with them. We see everything that isn't metta. Somebody was saying yesterday, oh, so much jealousy or envy, and how embarrassing that is. So we see what is not metta, either by way of the dosa that's there or by way of real strong emotional attachment. And so often our relationships in the world, without us knowing it, are predicated, are based in an expectation that this other person should be fill in the blank for me. And what we're faced with in this category is how other people are other people, and we can't control them. And they are who they are, and the heart of metta just allows somebody to be who they are, even if it doesn't fulfill our deepest wish about them. This is a lack of agenda that is so important. This is that total acceptance that is pure metta. When we can just allow each other to be who we are, understanding that basic inability to control another person. So, worldly love is such an interesting thing, because we say we love each other, but what happens when somebody says or does something unkind or something that feels uncomfortable, or we're in a romantic relationship with somebody and they do something to really betray us? What happens to that love? If you look at any advice column in the newspaper, you'll see what happens. People, you know, that love is transformed into hatred, anger, resentment, ill will, jealousy, envy. And we realize, oh, that wasn't pure love. That was the attached kind. And the attached kind of love that we're faced with in this category is the cause of so much suffering. Metta is never a source of suffering, because it just goes out to the other person, no matter what. No matter what they say or do. And this can be quite shocking, actually, to be faced with how much of our relationships in the world are transactional. It's very humbling. Pardon me, there's a part next door. Thank you. Stop eventually. In the meantime, I can't even hear myself speak. agendas. And we're faced with that. And it can be very both humbling and disconcerting and discouraging. But please understand, this is actually good practice when all this stuff comes to the surface. And the main thing to remember as far as the practice is concerned, when we're radiating metta for people who are close to us, is to be aware of any agendas that are slipping also into the practice. We might see them overtly in how we relate to each other, and that's disconcerting enough. But to be very careful to notice if that kind of bargaining mind is behind the practice as well. And it's much more subtle. It's not as overt as envy or jealousy or, you know, wanting a person to be different than they are. But it, there may be underneath, oh, may this person be well, happy, and peaceful, so they'll be nice to me, or what have you. So noticing any underlying agenda that comes with saying the phrase. We pay attention in this practice in order to care, that's all. Not in order to change them, but in order, as we've said many times, to change how we relate to the way people are. How we relate to the difficulties that come up internally or externally. It's that radical acceptance. And one other thing to be clear about with regards to how metta manifests, because this is another kind of near enemy that also comes from our perception about what metta should be. More than anything, real metta is authentic. It's genuine. It's honest. And it's kind. But it's that radical honesty and sincerity of metta that we can really feel in our experience. Metta is not a fake kindness that we plaster over everything, where we're nice all the time, no matter what's arising. And certainly, you know, it's not the kind of niceness that comes when we want to cultivate an image in the world. I was looking on the internet today at some metta, not kindness stories, and reading and watching little videos and feeling more and more disturbed, actually. And I couldn't put my finger on why I was disturbed by this. Until I realized, oh, yeah, that's not real metta. People posting little videos on TikTok about, I wasn't watching those, but I was watching something else and very aware of this trend that's sprung from wanting to have these, you know, random acts of kindness. And when I was reading something in a newspaper about this trend, I realized what was so disturbing is people are using others to look good and then posting something on the internet to say, look how kind I am, look how wonderful this is. And then these videos go viral. That's exploitation, that's not metta. So noticing in ourselves, if we're trying to look nice, to cultivate a kind of image internally or externally. Noticing for ourselves if there's some subtle wish to be seen in a certain way, to be seen as spiritual, to see ourselves as spiritual. And this is where it gets really, really, really hard to see. It's the lens through which we see ourselves. Of spiritual people are always nice. I have to be nice. But metta is accepting. And this is where all of the things that come up in this category, even if they're disconcerting, even if they're not spiritual, and it will get more and more interesting as we go through the other categories, as many of you well know, the acceptance of metta is so courageous because we see everything that isn't to our liking and it bubbles up and it's like, oh yeah, I had that agenda. Or, oh, ooh, I'm really using that person to gratify something in myself. Or, ooh, I really want to be jealous. Or whatever it happens to be. You know, we all have our versions of this. So that beautiful courage of metta that comes from acceptance, that holds our anger, that holds whatever might be coming up. Somebody said yesterday in the small group, and I thought it was so beautiful, the practice is not about changing anything, but just holding it. And that's so true. That's what the metta does. And here's a big caveat as well, a big caution. Because we have this beautiful, courageous heart of metta that holds all our stuff, all our reactivity, all our agendas. But that honesty doesn't mean we feed any of that stuff. It's not a license or an excuse to dive into whatever anger we might have to feed it, or any agenda we might have. It's the middle way between that fake sweetness and pure dosa, where we can just see, oh, I don't want to feed this. I want to be honest. But this is what's here, and I have to be truthful about that to myself. So to just put it aside and to have that wish to be at ease, to hold it all anyway, without feeding it energetically. So when unwholesome mind states arise, to know it, to accept as much as we can, and to acknowledge, oh, this is what's arisen. And it may take some energy, but again, to incline away from feeding that directly or indirectly. And in our outer life, because this retreat is for many of you also a very engaged in life retreat. How to use the metta in speech and action becomes such a challenge. How to thread this needle between wanting to be nice and knowing that's not honest, feeling whatever is arising and not wanting to pick it up and indulge it if it's unwholesome. How to do that? It's really hard to know what to do sometimes. We don't want to be nice when it's not genuine, but we also don't want to feed unwholesome mind states. So first, always pause if you can. Feel, know what's going on there. And remember, the metta is not about changing the other person, nor is it about changing yourself, but to incline to kindness anyway, and not to feed any of that unwholesome stuff. So perhaps something difficult needs to be said, or perhaps we're in the middle of a very difficult conversation. staying in the body. Know what's going on for yourself. And if you're feeling really strong, unwholesome states, see if you can find a way to say, you know, I'd like to talk about this, but later, please, I need a little time to digest what's going on. Find a way to make some space if you can. And perhaps something difficult does need to be said. Remembering that metta does not make us passive. It kind of goes along with that, not being nice all the time. We're not passive, nice people that somebody can do anything to. No. Sometimes there are boundaries that need to be set. Sometimes there are difficult things we need to say. Metta speech can sound like, no, that's not okay. Or any other difficult thing we need to say to somebody. When you said that, I felt really hurt and I need you too. So metta isn't passive. It has that courage, that kindness that's direct. And it's not fake. It's very real. But please give yourselves space to make mistakes, because we're all people. We're all human beings. We're not Buddhas. Well, I speak for myself. And understanding that this is part of the human package. So really being kind to yourself in your mistakes, your shortcomings, those places where you really want to be nice, but you don't feel it. You really want to have this heart of metta, but it's just not accessible right now. And keep going one step at a time. Taking refuge in those times when it is accessible, when it does bubble up. This is really important. Don't forget those times either, because that means it's accessible to you. It is there, that purity of heart. And you can find your way back in. So not to dwell too much on the difficulties. Knowing and trusting, and just to keep going one step at a time. And then the practice surprises us when we don't have that agenda about, oh, I'll radiate this metta so it'll fix me, or I'll fix another person. Just radiating metta for the sake of caring, and that's enough. So in the service of caring, let's begin the formal practice. Taking up a second, dear friend, today, if you like, if you want to keep going with the dear friend you've been working with, or even with yourself, it's actually okay if you feel you need to do that. But if you want to move on, if you feel ready to do that, bringing a second dear friend to heart and mind, whoever comes up before you begin to sit or as you're beginning to sit, don't overthink who to choose. The first person that comes to mind is usually the best person. And again, they need to be alive. So just resting back, relaxing the mind, relaxing the body. When you're ready, closing your eyes. letting the words, the reflection settle. Connecting with the breath or with the heart, with some physical experience of this body here now. Grounding yourself in presence. Taking about 5 minutes at the beginning of the sitting to begin where it's easiest for you. And Aria will ring the bell after about 5 minutes to signal that it's time to move on to the second dear friend. And simply continuing in the silence again and again and again to plant seeds of kindness without demand of yourself, without agenda of the other person, just letting them be who they are, letting whatever come up be there. And simply inclining to care, moment to moment to moment. thank you for your practice. In the formal sitting and walking meditation for the next 24 hours, please stay with this second dear friend. And as you've done before, in the general activities, really using that time to cultivate metta in your speech, in your action, remembering kindness, cultivating a continuity of that, and radiating metta for either this dear friend, if you're by yourself and not doing something that requires you pay attention, or being simply responsive to whomever is right around you, whether it be your cat, if you're at home by yourself, or a dog, or a partner, or a child, or your colleagues at work, or whoever you're in the grocery store with. Paying attention to the cultivation of metta these times. And it may begin to be coming more and more naturally, so it's just spontaneous. And if that's the case, just really rest there and be aware of that. Encourage that. You might throw a phrase or two in to remind yourself if you forget. So, thank you everybody for your practice. I'll turn us over to Aria for the questions and the chanting for tonight.
So yes, now the space is open for your questions. Anybody with a question? And remember, there are no silly questions. Yes, Sean, please.
Ayur Viranyani mentioned that, create metta not to change the other people. But she also mentioned that it is not to change yourself. And as I understood it up till now, it is just also to change actually your attitude from yourself towards the outside world. Please.
Yes, thank you, Sean. So, as you say, yes, with the practice of metta meditation, cultivation of this kind, benevolent attitude, yes, it's about strengthening this attitude in yourself towards the world, towards the living beings which are out there in the world. So, you know, it is something that happens with the practice. You know, it develops, it comes into being. So this benevolent metta attitude with which you go through life, so the attitude of benevolence of metta is towards yourself as well as towards other people, other living beings. So this develops. And, you know, depending on the circumstances or who you are together with, It's present, it's there. Sometimes it's more hidden. You know, you notice it when you get frustrated or upset, then the metta is hidden. So, you know, you strengthen it, and so the likelihood that it will be present becomes bigger and bigger. So, you know, it's not something you can make, say, now I'm full of metta, or now I'm not full of metta. But through the training, through the cultivation, you strengthen it more deeply, firmly in your heart and mind. I don't know if I answer your question with this, but maybe, or I hope that it helps you.
I get the point. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Yes, Claudia, please.
Yes, this is also about changing or not changing the other person or having an agenda. My friend is not very happy. And when I wish, in my wish that there is, may she be happy, and then my image of her, and this is the way I fuel my wish also, is then I see her happy and peaceful and safe. And then I'm aware that my wish makes my mind a different way than she is. So is this a contradictory?
Yes, Claudia, thank you. So, you know, the way you describe of cultivating metta for her, may she be happy, and also bringing up this mental image of her being happy, which she might not be in reality. So yes, here you're trying to do something, I would say. And you know, what is important in the metta practice is this heartfelt wish for the other person. And to have a mental image of the other person is not necessary. And especially not trying to imagine her or bring up an image of her being happy, you know, what you would like to achieve with your practice. So, you know, the wish, that's kind of the priority we should give, and not the mental image of that person. But sometimes as we cultivate the metta, you know, focusing on this wish for the other person to be happy, sometimes very spontaneously a mental image appears of this person, whether she looks very happy or not, but you know, just an image appears. And so then we acknowledge this mental image, but do not really pay attention to it. We just let it be in the mind, but bring again the focus on the inclination towards kindness, the well-wishing.
Yes, and there was another question coming up. This friend, I was aware I would like her to have more warmth. And I was aware of this while I was wishing her. And then I helped me in using the words his friend, however she is, or the way she is, may she be happy, peaceful, and safe. Can I help you with this?
Yes, yes. You can formulate or say the phrase in this way: the way she is, may she be happy, or whatever. You know, that's a little bit similar to say, may she be happy anyway. This also expresses in whatever way she is, may she be happy. Yeah, so that's fine, Claudia.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, Helen, please.
Hello, everyone. Claudia's question actually arises a question with me, because actually always I see the person I radiate metta for. I see especially those qualities that I'm well-wishing. So I'm kind of wondering now, you talked about it a bit already, but I'm still a bit insecure now. Is it, because for me, it's not like one time, it's like, almost always. So you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes, Helen. Thank you. So yes, when you say you see the person, or especially the qualities, the good side, the good qualities, if that image is there quite spontaneously, without having to put a lot of effort in bringing up this picture, and also especially if it doesn't really take effort or a lot of attention to maintain the image in your mind. You know, if it stays there quite easily without, putting a lot of effort of keeping that image there, then it's fine. So the image can be there, but, as I've said to Claudia, the priority or the most of the focus should go to the well-wishing. Do you see what I mean, Helen?
I'm a bit confused, because for me those things are almost, I never realized until Claudia asked this question. For me it's almost together, you know what I mean? It's,
yes.
I cannot separate these two almost. If I look at the person and grumpy, then maybe that's why it's not a good thing that I'm doing. For me it would be more difficult to, if I say may you be at ease, even if it's like a stranger, I picture that person being at ease.
So, now becoming more aware that these are different aspects in the practice, continue the practice and maybe just pay attention to it a little bit more. Give it, this, maybe you may be able to more easily distinguish the well-wishing, of the heart, of the mind, and the mental picture being present. What that is in your practice, without going nuts and trying too hard.
Thank you for that last one. Thank you.
You're welcome. So yes, then without going nuts and trying to think too much about metta, but just being it, radiating it, let's go to the chants. And I would like to start with the four boundless states on page 3. On top, the Pali version. We have already done it once here in this second retreat, so we can pick up on the speed a little bit. Then let's start. Metta sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatotang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabha tataya sabha vantang lokang metta sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena abhyapacena paritva viharati karuna sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatotang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabha tataya sabha vantang lokang karuna sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena abhyapacena paritva viharati mudita sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabha tataya sabha vantang lokang mudita sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena abhyapacena paritva viharati upekha sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabha tataya sabha vantang lokang upekha sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena abhyapacena paritva viharati. Then next, let's go to page 6 in the middle. That's the Loka Samastha Sukhinoba 1-2. This calm and slow chant in Sanskrit. Then let's begin. Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu, Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu, Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu, Loka Shasta Sukhino Bhavantu Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. And then let's go to page 5. That's the metta in deed, speech, and thought. Then let's start. Whenever your action is suffused with metta, you will be treated with respect and kindness. Forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. Whenever your speech is suffused with metta, speaking words that are sweet, beneficial, and pleasing to hear, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. Whenever your thoughts are suffused with metta, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. So with this, we come to the end of this online session. There will be smaller interview groups. Group E is with Ayavi Ranyani, and group B is with myself. So may we all dwell in metta, manifested in actions of body, speech, and mind, and may we and the world around us be at ease and in peace. With great appreciation for your dedication and practice. So see you tomorrow, and some of you see you soon. And so the interviews, please, in 5 minutes from now.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.